With the economic downturn, more and more people are looking for work. Some are selling not their skills or their experience, but their bodies, to science, that is, for paid drug trials. The practice isn't new, but it's expanded. An industry has emerged to supply pharmaceutical companies with human subjects willing to be guinea pigs for the next blockbuster medication. WNYC's Fred Mogul reports.
Jennifer prides herself on being a self-supporting artist, not a struggling one. She owns her apartment in a very unhip minivan. Over the last year, though,
everybody's on TV telling people to stop buying things they don't need, but I'm making a living selling people things they don't need, which is artwork. So it's a little slow time.
So she was more open than she might have been to a pitch by a firm called Clinilabs, which runs drug trials for pharmaceutical companies and specializes in mental health and neurological conditions. At a health fair, Clinilabs tested Jennifer's cholesterol and blood pressure.
And I saw a listing on Craigslist. And because I had already heard of them and knew they were legitimate, then I responded.
Now, Jennifer, who asked not to use her real name, will spend 8 days quarantined in Clinilabs' Midtown office building, testing a possible sleep drug. When awake, she'll do various tests to see if the medication, or the placebo, has affected her. And while asleep, trial monitors will observe her brainwaves, breathing, and more through electrodes she's plugged into.
I would not have agreed to do it if I came and I found out that you couldn't make phone calls and didn't have TV. There's no way I could do it because I would go insane.
And Jennifer can walk away at any time. For 3 8-day immersions, she'll get $5,600 very helpful dollars. Gary Zammit, the founder and CEO of Clinilabs, says many of the drug trial participants aren't 9-to-5 workers. There are students, writers, actors and actresses, waiters and waitresses.
More recently, as unemployment has gone up, we have found that people are out there who have more flexibility in their schedules. They're also interested in the compensation that's provided for participation in a study. So they're calling with inquiries about the studies that we're doing.
Zammit says many people participate because they sincerely want to help advance scientific knowledge, or because they want to benefit from potentially cutting-edge drug technology, or because they're uninsured and want some of the health care that participating in a drug trial provides. I talked to dozens of people who've done this at Clinilabs and elsewhere, and I asked what motivated them. And most, well, they said what you think they would.
I needed some money.
I have bills to pay.
It seemed like a pretty easy way to make a significant amount of money.
Most of them said they were well informed by the trial supervisors. Ruth Macklin, a bioethicist at Albert Einstein College of Medicine, says it's also important to keep an eye out for inducement. She and other ethicists get concerned when people who are economically vulnerable take on higher risks.
The question comes down to whether or not people who have lost their jobs are in a position to be exploited. Is it, in fact, a risk that people would not otherwise undergo but for the money?
One-time trial participant David Butansky didn't think he was taking on an especially high risk a few years ago when he went into a 4-week trial to evaluate the safety of a possible stomach ulcer drug.
I guess I went in thinking, well, I'm not so concerned about a medication for the stomach because just for some reason the stomach seemed to be kind of, I got a tough stomach. I need $5,000.
Butansky spent 2 weeks sequestered at an office park in suburban New Jersey, taking the drug and staying out of the way of his more disagreeable fellow participants. He got only an hour a day outside, and nurses monitored him constantly. Butansky wrote an entire screenplay, even as he was painfully constipated for days at a time. When he returned a couple weeks later for the drug trial's next phase, it was aborted on the second day. Everyone got paid the full amount.
They were like, you signed this contract, and we promised you if we found a side effect, that we would end the study. But if you guys want to continue, you also have that option. And we all looked at each other like, yeah, right.
The FDA, in theory, oversees patient safety at these companies. But in practice, they mainly make sure firms have set up and followed ethics boards. Doug Petticord, the head of the Association of Contract Research Organizations, says patient safety is paramount in drug trials.
They are conducted by licensed healthcare professionals. And so the physicians, nurses, and others are regulated in the same way that any other physician or nurse is.
That's true when drug trials are conducted in hospitals, clinics, and doctor's offices, largely because state health department inspectors monitor those institutions. But self-contained drug trial centers, such as Clinilabs, are subject only to their own ethics panels and audits by the FDA. Dr. Marcia Angel says these institutional review boards, or IRBs, have no interest in challenging the drug companies that pay them.
So you have a chain of actors, each of which is paid by another element in the chain. You have the drug companies paying the IRBs. The conflicts of interest pervade the system.
Dr. Angel takes issue with firms like Clinilabs, which are part of the $15 to $20 billion contract research organization industry. The former editor-in-chief of the New England Journal of Medicine and a senior lecturer at Harvard says that until these CROs emerged about 20 years ago, pharmaceutical companies relied on academic medical centers to run drug trials.
They just gave grants to medical schools for the use of the faculty to do the research, and then they stepped back and hoped that their drugs looked good. They didn't have control over the design of the trials. They didn't analyze the data. They didn't write the papers. They didn't tell researchers whether the papers could be published and under what circumstances.
Angel says using contract research organizations lets pharmaceutical companies design studies that make their drugs look good, and they can suppress bad test results with little or no objection from federal law. She'd like to abolish CROs and make drug companies once again use academic medical centers exclusively. Doug Petticord, the head of the Association of Contract Research Organizations, says this would stymie innovation.
We think that a combination of scientific discovery and entrepreneurial drive combined with oversight by the FDA and other regulatory bodies around the world is the best path toward a consumer-centered healthcare system.
The pharmaceutical industry can expect change from the Obama administration concerning the future of drug testing, approval, and marketing. In the meantime, given the economy, people looking for cash will continue to cruise Craigslist for drug trials. For WNYC, I'm Fred Mogul.